We are in a five-week sermon series on the plurality of elders, which was encouraged and really commissioned by the church council for the last year, the last 2 years. The spiritual leadership team has been just studying the word and then brought it to the council, and we are taking a look at biblical leadership. We as a congregation, Mountain View, has had a council, and so we are looking at the plurality of elder leadership and then the council, and we wanted the whole congregation to go through this. There is a Bible study that is out in the lobby that you can take along and do your own Bible study on this. We are going to be, as a spiritual leadership team, I'm preaching this week, and then for the next 3 weeks, the other members of the spiritual leadership team are going to be lifting up different aspects of the plurality of elders. As I said last week, we took a look at the words, elder, shepherd, overseer, and found that these words all describe one person. It is the leader that God places in the midst of the body. And so the name might be elder, but the function, the scripture says, is to be an overseer, and the manner of overseeing is a shepherd. One of the things we talked about last week also was that the word for pastor is not what we would think in terms of one person in a congregation. All of the elders are pastors, because all of the elders are called to oversee in a manner of shepherding the flock of Jesus Christ. Just like I'm the head of my family, and you can say I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a pastor. Those are different roles and different aspects of how I live out that calling. The same is true of elders. So if you would stand, we're going to take a look this week at qualifications for elders. Would you stand to honor the word of God from 1 through 7? The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. And then we turn to Titus chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. You know, from the earliest days of the ship, was never entrusted to a single individual acting alone. I don't think you can find that in Scripture. Leadership was entrusted to a group of spiritually mature men called elders. Acts 14:23 tells us that Paul and Barnabas appointed elders, plural. Every church, there were elders that were appointed. It was a plurality. It was a group. It was a team. And this is not an exception. It is the norm. Titus 1:5 echoes this same principle when Paul instructs Titus to appoint elders in every town. And that's the way it is in the New Testament. They go to a new town, they raise up men who are going to lead, they move on. The church in Jerusalem, the churches in Asia Minor, and the church at Crete all followed this model. But why did God design the church this way? Why did God design the plurality of elders for leadership in the church? Because God knows our frame. He knows who we are. He knows the dangers of pride and isolation and unchecked authority. We see them nationally, internationally, all the time. A single leader, and they fall. But a plurality of elders provides accountability. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety." When multiple godly men are leading together, my experience through the spiritual leadership team, they challenge one another, encourage one another, they pray for one another, they correct one another in love, and they safeguard the church from error and abuse. Elder plurality brings shared wisdom. There is no one man that possesses all the gifts, all the insights, all the perspectives needed to shepherd the flock of God. But when elders come together, each bring their own spiritual gifts, life experiences, understanding of the Scripture, and the church benefits from this fuller expression of God's wisdom. And let us not forget the spiritual maturity that elder plurality fosters. Elders are to be men of character. When men of character lead together, they model Christ-like humility and they model unity for the congregation. They sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron, and they grow together in God's grace and God's truth. And that becomes the model for the entire congregation. And that model reflects the very nature of God. We worship and serve a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, dwelling in perfect unity and love and mutual submission. Just as the Godhead works in harmony, so too the leadership of God's church is called to serve in harmony. A man-made innovation. It is a reflection of God's divine design and the means of grace for the church. So today we're looking at the qualifications of an elder. And I've seen this taken, and people have a list of it, and the way that they evaluate an elder is go down one after another. That's Jesus. That's what Jesus looks like. These biblical qualities are not a list of requirements. They are not meant to be a scorecard. They are meant to be a portrait of spiritual maturity, character, and Christ-likeness. So Paul begins in chapter 3, verse 1, and he says, here's a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now, when I was raised, I had people that said to me, if someone in the congregation desires to be an overseer, they're cocky. They're filled with themselves. Read the word. That's not what the word says. The word says, whoever aspires, and that aspires is the word origomai, and it means if you're stretching towards something, if you are distretching, and you have a desire, not for a position, but you have a desire for God to utilize the gifts that he has given you as an overseer and a shepherd. Paul says, that's a fine work if you desire that. I am constantly telling my grandchildren, I'm praying for the day when one of my grandchildren comes up to me and says, I aspire to be an elder. I aspire to be God's leader in the church. Praise God. The church today is in a predicament because for years we have not raised up young people who are going to stand up and be counted for their faith and provide leadership, mature spiritual leadership with character and Christ-likeness for the church of Jesus Christ. And so there's a whole generation where pastors are not to be found. You can't find them. And I've talked to several persons in judicatories. He said, they're not out there. I wonder if that's because we're called to raise them up. We're called to raise them up in the church. We're called to not only love our children, but also to help them to grow in character and to grow in understanding that God can use them and that God wants to call them as leaders in his church. But the role of an elder is not to be taken lightly. It is noble, not because it brings prestige and authority, but because it involves the care of souls. It involves the teaching of truth. It involves the modeling of godliness. It is a high calling that demands a high standard. So let's walk through these character traits that Paul lists here, not as a checklist, but as a model, especially for those who might feel called to leadership. This is what it's going to look like for a young man to be called into leadership as an elder in the church. This is what it's going to look like if we continue on for deacons to be called, because deacons have about very similar character expectations that accompany them. So Paul first says, the elder must be above reproach in character. This means that his life is marked by integrity. It doesn't say that he's not going to be reproached. Because I venture to say that if you've been in the Christian church very long, you may have reproached an elder. It doesn't say that the elder is not going to be reproached. It says that when he is reproached and the light is shined, there is nothing that can be brought against his reputation, both inside the church and outside of the church, because his reputation is one of honor. Next, he says he must be faithful to his wife. This refers to marital fidelity, purity, commitment. Unlike the commitment that the world calls for, we are to be an example of covenant love and loyalty in the marriage relationship and in the family. He must be temperate, self-controlled, and respectable. These are qualities that speak of a man who's disciplined in thought, disciplined in emotion, and disciplined in behavior. Not ruled by passions or swayed by every wind of doctrine or option, the elder lives his life. He must be hospitable. That doesn't mean you have to open your home to everybody that walks down the street. But what it does mean is you have a heart that welcomes people. You have a heart that welcomes others, especially strangers, those in need, those who are in need of the gospel. Your heart is always open to welcome those people. It also means that the elder is not aloof or distant, but warm and caring and approachable. The elder must be able to teach. This doesn't mean that you have to be a polished public speaker. All you have to do is listen to me this morning. It's not about being a great public speaker. Being able to teach means you're grounded in the Word. If you're at the grocery store, you can take the Word and you can talk to people about it. You can instruct others in sound doctrine. You're always open to refuting error and encouraging believers with the truth who step out and want to live for Jesus. The elder must not be given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. This talks about power and the misuse of power. We don't use any of these things as elders to abuse power, to be argumentative, to just get in somebody's face just for the heck of it. And we don't pursue wealth or we don't pursue things to fill our hearts outside of us. That is an inside job because we know our identity is in Christ. And if our identity is in Christ, we don't need anything that this world has to offer to complete us. Talks about whatever you do, do it in moderation, in kindness, in peace, and contentment. The next characteristic is an elder manages his own family well. Leadership begins at home. If a man cannot shepherd his own household, how can he shepherd the church of God? An elder's children should respect him, not out of fear, but out of love, out of admiration for the consistent, godly leadership. The elder is not to be a recent convert, because spiritual maturity takes time. An elder must be rooted and grounded in Christ, willing to be tested in the fires of life, and proven faithful over time. That's why anyone that's in this congregation right now, we know each other. You're able to take a look and see, does this person have a good reputation inside and outside of the congregation? Has this person been faithful with the Word of God? Has this person been loving and caring? Has this person brought the Word? Has this person lived the Word? Every congregation on the face of the earth needs to understand the importance of developing, equipping, encouraging elder leadership in the church. Why does all of this matter? Because the church is the household of God, and its leaders must reflect the character of Christ. The elder is to take care of temporal things. The elder is a shepherd, a teacher, a model, a servant. And so that's why I say this is not a list that you get and say, how do you check off on this, check off on this? It's a portrait. It's a portrait of what a man who is following Christ to become a leader in the church is going to look like. Dr. John Frame has a leadership triangle. And the leadership triangle is based on the scripture. And there are three points in the triangle. The first is character. Character is one point. Competence is another point. And then compatibility. And this is a way to take a look and a picture at who are the leaders in the congregation that we might call to serve and that we might equip and encourage. The word for character comes from a German derivative, and it's like the pen that you use that's electronic, that you write something, you etch it on like a mug or something like that. It's etched in and it digs in, right? And so it is. That's what the word character means. It's been etched into us. There are things that we believe, our personality, who we are, have been etched into us. And that is our character. And God's character is one of control. He is able to control every situation because he is the Lord God. And he is able to have authority in every situation because he is present in every situation. And so John Frame uses this to take a look at those who are leaders, elders in a congregation, to examine their character, to examine their competence, the ability to be able to take the word of God and apply it, and then compatibility. And compatibility would be having the same vision and being on the same page as all of the other elders on the elder team so that you can walk with one heart, one mind. Doesn't mean you don't disagree about things, but it means that you are moving together with God's truth at the center to bring people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Character is discerned in community. Who are people in this congregation? And one thing that I want to, elders are men in the scripture. And Mountain View affirms that. Article 11 of the bylaws says, we believe that the lead senior pastoral positions are to be held only by men. This position is in no way a reflection of a woman's competency. We hold that a man's headship in the home is not based on his superiority, but has to do with God's created dynamic. We believe God has called men to be the head of the home and the leaders of the church. So character is discerned in community. Character is evaluated under pressure. Character is wisdom. And that takes time to know who has that wisdom. Who is it that stands strong under pressure? And these are some of the characteristics that Paul gives to us so that we can evaluate a person's ability and calling to serve as elder in the congregation. But a man does not aspire to the office of elder just anywhere. Elder, if you are going to aspire to be an elder in a congregation, it has to be a particular congregation with a specific mission and a specific vision and a specific direction that God has for the congregation. That's where the compatibility comes in. The elder must be compatible with the vision of the church. He must feel a sense of excitement about the specific local church's ministry philosophy that they have adopted. Because if you don't have compatibility, that brings division. I've heard a number of people in the congregation say to me that several years ago, when you went through a difficult period of time, there was a senior pastor. And that senior pastor began to have voices speaking to him from different directions. He was out there pretty much by himself. As I understand the biblical call to plurality of elder leadership, and I believe this with my whole heart, I don't own the pulpit here. I don't own the scripture. But there is a group of men that come together and they understand God's heart. They know his heart. They know his word. And they make sure that they oversee the congregation by allowing the word of God to be the foundation upon which we do everything. The first thing I would do, if you thought that there was something that I was not above reproach, and you came and you addressed it, you don't have to tell a lot of other people. You just need to find one other person that agrees with you. And then you need to come to the elder team, because I will absolutely submit myself to God's control. And if God wants to change something, he has my permission to do that. And he will definitely tell me through my brothers on the elder team. We don't agree on everything, but we seek out God's heart and his word together. And I really believe firmly that if there would have been an elder team in place when Will's Kitchen was here, that he might still be here. Because the elder team, he would have been a part of the elder team. He would not have been a pastor up there by himself trying to run the church. Pastor is an elder, and an elder is a pastor. And the spiritual leadership team, they are functioning like elders, then that would be brought to them. And elders protect. They protect not just the flock. They protect you from false teachers. They protect the word of God among you. But they also protect the leaders of the church. We don't want to put somebody out there by himself. And I firmly believe that if you were to raise something about me, I would go to the elder team first thing, and I would submit myself to God through them. And it would be about my character. It would be about what God may want to change in my life so that I can fully be a channel of his grace and of his truth. I'll close with this. The gospel of Jesus Christ affirms that God does not accept us based on our competence and our compatibility. But God solely accepts us through the merits of Jesus Christ. And because we are prone to find our identity in what we do, we can easily feel that not being qualified to do something means that we're not acceptable as persons. But we must not confuse acceptance with maturity. This is the good news that we preach to ourselves and others continually. We are confident that God delights in us, and we can humbly acknowledge our deficiencies. And we can apply ourselves for the Holy Spirit to grow us. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit in order to empower us for ministry. We are guaranteed that every person in this congregation has been gifted with spiritual gifts. It is the elders' responsibility to be concerned about you understanding your spiritual gifts and giving you the opportunity to use those spiritual gifts for the glory of God. Let every one of us grow in competence and compatibility with what God is doing because of the work of the Holy Spirit in each of us. Because Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. I offer this message this morning, bringing myself under its light. And I invite each of us to do so. This congregation is so blessed to have the leadership that is in place. The council has absolutely been resolute to do God's will. It's been difficult at times. There's been a lot of listening. There have been people who, rather than bringing it to one another, they took it to other people. It's been hard for many of the leaders in this congregation, because the council model, and I'll go on record for this, the council model is not the biblical model. The biblical model is the plurality of elders. And that is the reason that when the church was going through the fire and going through the difficult waters, the council appointed elders, basically, spiritual leaders, to be concerned about the spiritual nurture of the flock, about the word of God, about equipping, and they've been solid in doing that. And what we discovered over the last year was that council and the spiritual leadership team didn't know who was responsible for this or who was responsible for that. It's time to bring them under one umbrella. And so we are, as the spiritual leadership team, coming with the encouragement and the blessing of the council to say the elder team, the plurality of elders, is the umbrella that we are bringing to you. And that's why we are inviting you to search the word. Get into the word yourself. We want to be a congregation that is grounded in the word of God and lives our life with God's word in control of everything that we are and everything that we do. I bless the leadership in this congregation, and I praise the Lord. This is not about any one leader. It's not about anything like that. This is about, it's simply time to be grounded in the word of God, and it's time to get into the word together. So after the five messages are complete, the elder team and the council will meet, and then we'll be coming back to the congregation with a recommendation, a biblical recommendation that we will move forward with. There's nobody trying to pull anything over anybody's eyes or do anything behind the scenes. It's right up front. And any council member or spiritual leadership team member will be happy to talk to you about this. Let's pray. Jesus, one thing we're very clear about is that you are the head of the church. This isn't our church. It's your church. And you are the head. And you, as the head, have appointed leaders for your church. And we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for taking control. That it's not up to us to decide. We are called to follow you and to do your will and to do your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each of our hearts. As we examine your word, as we bring ourselves to your word. Some of us grew up in different kinds of congregations with different kinds of leadership. And Lord, we bless that. But the question today is, what is you speaking to us for this time as we move forward to fulfill the vision that you have given us to be a congregation that stands on your word and stands on the proclamation of the gospel and wants to make a difference in this world for Jesus Christ? So fill us with your Holy Spirit, we pray. Give us grace to talk to one another, to truly be able to share our hearts with one another and bring it to you in prayer. I thank you, God, for what you're doing, and we bless you and glorify your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.